Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678, and you can follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. With me this week is my friend Alex. How you doing, Alex?
I am very well.
Long time no talk.
Yeah, no, it's well, as soon as the NFL season ends, you don't have that big thing to talk about every week,
and it's just kind of this is the time where you can take a little bit more time in between. But when we last left you, we were on location at Citi Field, but here we are back at the dining room table, so we'll continue with there. And since we left you, the Mets have gone through an up and down phase. They were supposed to feast on the lowly Philadelphia Phillies and the somewhat lowly but increasing Florida Marlins. That didn't work out. Mm. They only they lost 2 out of 3 to both the Phillies and the Marlins. So,
well, if the Flyers are anything to go by, beating Philly teams is probably in your best. Not beating Philly teams has been your best interests.
I guess. However, the Mets did just come off a big series in which the Mets, for the first time in their history, had three straight games of back to back home runs of in the lineup. And I think they hit a total of 10 or 9 home runs in a 3-game series. Mm. And I think on the game on, what was that, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday? I think on the Tuesday night game, they had all their scoring came off of home runs.
Yeah. Like they that was what got them so far through the playoffs last year, just consistent home run hitting.
Yes, from sources. And even now, as the Mets are playing the Braves on this Friday evening, they've been getting home runs from Curtis Granderson, who was very cold early in the year. But, yeah, so baseball has been going along very, very nicely. There have been some big stories in terms of, you know, there's been a no-hitter already, Jake Arrieta for the Cubs. It's his second no-hitter in his last 11 regular season games starts. So because he had a no-hitter in August, and then he's had a no-hitter, was it 4 weeks into the season? So very impressive. And the Nationals have been very, very strong this year. So right now it looks like the Cubs and Nationals got out to the best start. And even some other teams, like the Orioles were undefeated at one point for a while. The Royals continue winning. Texas, the White Sox, surprisingly, are ahead. And I think everybody kind of figured the Dodgers. But also another big story was Trevor Story. Speaking of stories, Trevor Story was a rookie shortstop, and he hit, was it a home run in 3 straight games to start off his MLB career, which is very, very impressive. So it's still early. It's still April. A lot can happen. But
Too early to say who you think's going to be important?
Everybody figured the Cubs would be vastly improved, which is hard to believe. They won close to 100 games last year, but they are improved, and it looks like they're not going to stop, especially little things like a no-hitter, you know, a big offensive shows, which they've had a lot of, that kind of portends to just a really good year. But right now, they've scored the most runs in baseball. Right now, they're at 105. The next closest is the Cardinals at 91. So that goes to show you. Also, they've only given up 38 runs. So that's a differential of 67 runs to start off the season for the Cubs. Yep. That's unbelievable. Almost unheard of. But
I mean, for like 105 runs over 15 games?
That's
probably take that.
Yeah, over 17. Yeah, 17 years. Just unbelievable. So looks like the Cubs, they've jumped out to a lead pretty much insurmountable, at least here. But it's a long season. It's the grind, so we'll see how that goes. But two seasons that are over and in the playoffs are the NHL and the NBA. Have you been following any of the hockey and the basketball playoffs?
NHL more. I come from I'm a import to a Devils family, so I'm more up on the NHL than the NBA.
NHL's got the best playoffs. I mean,
just every series is
crucial. Every game is crucial, and every game is exciting because scoring is at such a premium in hockey. Yeah. Although depending on the game, you know, like the Rangers who gave up five goals?
Five goals, yeah.
Oof, which is sad to see. But you know, a lot. I mean, these goals are. Overtime is the best. Like you can't beat overtime because a goal scores it no matter what. So.
Well, especially now when it's a man down, like 4-on-4.
Yes.
It's such a lottery, and it just turns into attack. It almost turns into like basketball on ice.
Yes.
It's just you. Every time you have the puck, you kind of expect to score.
It's very exciting. But speaking of Philadelphia, the Flyers, as you were mentioned, they've gone down in the series. They've gone down in the series against the Nationals, or Washington Capitals. They were down 3-1, but now Philly's been able to, at this point, bring it closer. Capitals leading 3-2.
Mm. Hopefully they don't tear apart the stadium again.
Yes, that was amazing. So, yeah, there was a, I believe it was a callback, what was it?
It was some sort of memorial to a previous person affiliated with the organization, and they'd been giving out wristbands.
Yes,
as some sort.
But
of...
I think it was not good.
No,
And I'm forgetting the circumstances, and it's really, really. So yes, so the Flyers had I think committed a penalty, or penalty was called, or there was a callback of a goal, and the fans got very upset. And so one of the giveaways for this game was to wristbands?
Wristbands. Like light up glowy wristbands.
Yeah, one of those things, you know, you can't really use a thunder stick in a hockey arena. So they got upset and they started to throw their wristbands, and it hit a couple players and all this stuff, and they actually the announcers were the PA announcers were saying like stop or you're gonna give a penalty for the end.
Kept doing it.
The Flyers get a penalty that's, you know, one man short, and then they scored the Capitals scored a power play goal on that. So
certainly calmed the situation down, or did exactly the opposite of that, in fact.
Yes, it's true. So that wasn't very good. However, that's, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, that's Philadelphia. Yeah. They're passionate, but they're also very rough around the edges.
Yeah.
So
I do think the Capitals look pretty legit. Sorry, you've infected it with me.
I know. I know. Me too. Well, the Capitals were the best team in at least in the Eastern Division.
Yep.
This year. So, you know, it's hard to really beat the top team.
Yeah. It's an easy thing to predict.
Right.
They'll go far. They were the best in the regular season.
So that, you know, I'm always interested in the original six teams. So if the Rangers go down, that's a little disappointing. Even though I do like the Devils, I think the Rangers being in it is good.
Yeah.
But they're losing to the Penguins 3-1. The Blackhawks are down 3-2 against the Blues. So just stuff like that. It's like,
As a Devils fan, it normally comes down to just as long as the Rangers and the Flyers don't win, you can be fairly happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be nice to see the Blackhawks too.
Right. Well, now, I personally do want to see the Islanders go farther. Because, I mean, that's a franchise that has been so bad for so long that within the last couple of years, they've been really good. However, I'm torn because I don't want them to do well in Brooklyn, because that arena is not set up for hockey. You know how there's the seats are along the edge?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, along the glass. Well, due to the setup of nobody ever... how do you not think that hockey's going to be played at an arena? Basketball is not going to sell out a giant arena in Brooklyn every game, especially if you're bad, like the Nets are. So, okay, well, there's a possibility ice hockey could come.
Yeah.
If not ice hockey, then at least Disney on ice. So so there are some seats in the corner, which are very popular seats at other arenas. They have a giant car there. Like, so as the camera pans by, it's like a Toyota Tundra that you can say, the whole Toyota, it's a sponsor. But it's in where you could at least sit, I'd say, 60 people.
Yeah. 60 season tickets 60... or a sponsorship from Toyota.
Oh, or just any. But there's a giant car there. Meanwhile, it's flanked by all these fans, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, you know.
I mean, in the long line of stadiums being badly set up for sporting events, it's probably not the worst.
No.
I'm thinking of, for soccer, particularly the London Olympic Arena.
Oh,
it has
right.
a running track around the pit. So it's just, oh, all your fans are now 30 yards away
thousands
from the game.
Thousands of feet
and
away.
Nobody likes it.
No, it's like in baseball with the Oakland Athletics because they play and they have the largest foul territory. So the back of home plate is at least, it feels like a mile away, but it's very far away. So you're very far away from that. Yeah, just, you want that really close up. So that's the NHL. And then in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors did, in fact, set the record for most wins in a regular season, 73-9. And the first game in the playoffs, Stephen Curry injures his ankle, and he's been out a couple games. And everybody thinks, well, they'll be fine. Well, that's true. They did. However, they lost the game to the Houston Rockets, the eighth-seeded Houston Rockets. So the Warriors currently are leading up 2-1. But, you know, it's not that they're... I don't think they're going to lose in this first round, but that's one loss. You know, they didn't have those many... You know, and they weren't going to sweep through the playoffs, but to see that happen, it's like, you know.
Well, especially when it's the sport of basketball in the NBA is you have these players who are just... such a big influence.
Yeah.
So losing them is going to... You are going to take a step down.
Right.
But they're probably a strong enough organization to get through it. And he's going to come back and probably be good.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. But, you know, LeBron James and the Cavaliers are up 3-0 over the Pistons. The Spurs are looking in control. They're up 2-0. They might even go up 3-1 tonight in this recording. You know, teams like the Raptors and the Heat... the Thunder all ahead, the Clippers as well. So we'll see where it goes with them. You know, the Hawks are up over the Celtics. I from the outsider's perspective, I would prefer the Celtics because that's a bigger draw than the Atlanta Hawks. So, but that's just me. So that's going on in the NBA and in the NHL. And then a little bit less than a week from today, we have the NFL draft. And a lot of movement happened with the NFL draft. The Tennessee Titans, who had the first pick in the draft, have a quarterback, and they were trying to figure out what to do. Do you take an offensive lineman? All this other stuff. Well, they decided to trade it, their first pick, to the Los Angeles Rams, who gave up their first-round pick X amount of years ago that went to Robert Griffin for the Redskins, and we all know that how that turned out.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Rams got a bounty for... and they didn't do too much with those drafts. I think their best player they got was Tavon Austin.
Yeah.
And I think that was about it. A couple defensive players, but they've got a very strong defense, and now they want that quarterback of the future, and everybody's talking about it's either Goff or Wentz. And so whoever they pick will get that. And then Cleveland, who's now run by former baseball executives, one, Paul DePodesta, who was famously portrayed... but not name, by Jonah Hill in Moneyball, is running the Cleveland Browns with another person. I think the name is Sasha Brown. I could be totally...
So in 20 years, are we getting Moneyball, colon, NFL?
Well, technically, I actually heard that the 49ers actually tried that X amount of years ago. I think like this was before they hired Jim Harbaugh and stuff, but they tried to sort of replicate that. Didn't really work too well, at least statistically.
Mm.
However, it looks like the Browns have gone with the idea of, quantity over quality. And what they decided to do was trade their number two pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. So Cleveland got their first rounder, which is the 13th pick in the draft. I forget which one it is. Eighth, something like that. So they get that. They get their Philadelphia's third rounder this year and their fourth round as well. And they also get the Eagles' first-round pick next year in 2017 and a second-round pick 2018. So you got seven rounds, eight, nine, so six, seven, eight, nine. So they have nine picks this year, two first-round picks next year, and then two second-round picks the year after that. So that's a lot of high picks
yeah.
that they can get just quality at a position where you could get depth.
Yeah.
Which is what they need, and because in the offseason they got just ripped apart. So many players left.
But then it's saying, well, these things are going to be important in 3-4 years.
Right.
Because, well, they're coming in this year. How many of those players are going to walk straight onto the field? Maybe one, maybe two next year. So again, this might be part of a 3-4 year rebuilding process. As a Cleveland Browns fan, that probably doesn't get you far away from the cliff.
No, you're absolutely right.
But
yeah, they're not.
I guess that's how you start to build up a franchise again.
Well, yeah, you kind of have to do that. Hopefully they'll, don't want to see them that bad,
It is fun. It is easy to write jokes.
The Cleveland Browns are really easy ones to kind of go off of. So, but with that, the Eagles are now going to pick either Wentz or Goff, whoever the Rams don't pick.
Mm.
And now, although it is funny because last year they wanted the Titans pick so badly so they could get Mariota, didn't get him. So then now they have the Browns pick. And second, so they're going to get a quarterback. So now they have Sam Bradford, Chase Daniels, and now whoever's left.
Yeah.
Now apparently Bradford has said through intermediaries he is livid. He's mad. How dare they? They just signed him to a giant contract, and he's very upset. But what I don't think I hear said loud enough is the fact that some people have mentioned it a little bit, that they're going to do the Aaron Rodgers method. Hmm. Have Bradford start and keep either Goff or Wentz, whoever they pick, sitting for a couple years. How about this? Bradford is often injured. Okay? Chase Daniels is the backup. At some point, guaranteed, I'd love to bookmark this and say, like, let's check back on how this is. But guaranteed, Bradford's going to be out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now Mark Sanchez isn't behind him. It'll be Chase Daniels. So Chase Daniels, who has a relationship with Doug Peterson, the new coach of the Eagles, will come in, step in, and he'll be the starter for X amount of games, maybe a whole season, maybe less than that, maybe one game. And so you have either whoever they pick, Goff or Wentz, as the third stringer sitting behind as an emergency player who can learn from the backup, Chase Daniels, who knows the system of Doug Peterson. Let Bradford go out there, play as well as he can, until he does get hurt. Chase Daniels goes in, if needed, whoever they pick will be the third stringer.
The only thing I say is, does Sam Bradford's reaction to that illustrate maybe a lack of confidence on his part? Because, I mean...
In himself?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, Brett Favre has no worries that a rookie's going to come in and take his job.
Well,
Aaron Rodgers knows... I'm here to learn.
Right.
But it definitely seems the modern thing where quarterbacks coming out of the draft don't get given this time. They're expected to come into franchises and fix them. So if they're drafting a quarterback, well, the modern thing is, well, he's going to come in and try and fix everything.
Right. But you draft for the future, whether it's next season, the future, or 5 seasons from now, the future. With Favre, the Packers always had, like, drafted backups behind Favre. And each one of those went on to bigger and better things. Matt Hasselbeck, Mark Brunell, and of course Aaron Rodgers. So, there was a history there. And that's also a better organization, the Packers. They know what they're doing. The Eagles, they do. They're smart about that stuff. So here come the Eagles, and they want to get that quarterback. And, we'll see what happens with that. But, So.
I mean, do you think either Wentz or Goff are, like, that franchise quarterback? I don't want to say Andrew Luck because he's had a bit of a bad season, but at least his first season he was like...
Who's that again?
Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah.
He was He was like a fully-fledged quarterback out of college.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think either of them is that level yet?
I don't think so. Definitely not Andrew Luck. But, I mean, you look at somebody like even Roethlisberger. I mean, he came out of a mid-major school, Miami of Ohio, and he started right away as a rookie, and they went to the Super Bowl.
True. I mean, not everyone's... How tall is he? 6-something?
Oh, he's 6'7"?
He's
built like
stupid.
A linebacker.
Yeah. Just his size probably helps him a lot.
Now, also what isn't... Now, I would even compare this because now Robert Griffin III is in Cleveland. And so they have a quarterback. So they didn't really go with a quarterback. They traded out of that spot. Now they could get a quarterback in the Eagles' position. Was that the eighth? I'm going to look that up real quick. So I think that they have the eighth pick. They could possibly get Paxton Lynch, who's the third best quarterback in the draft.
Mm.
And what if they draft him? Does that mean that Robert Griffin's out of a job? No. That means that Robert Griffin has competition and that Paxton Lynch could sit behind. And because Griffin is known to get hurt, he could then step in.
I don't know. With the Cowboys ahead of them in the draft, they could pick up more quarterbacks.
They could. You know, it's funny. The Cowboys keep teasing, like, well, we will. No, we won't. Well, we will. Well, if anybody needs a quarterback, they kind of do, because Romo's older and he constantly gets hurt. So,
yep.
And unless they want another season of Brandon Wheaton or some other cast off, it's not going to be good for them. So,
no.
But we'll see what happens a week from Thursday. That'll be exciting for the draft.
I don't think from a Chargers perspective, it's just going to be an O-lineman and it's going to be another draft of not very excitement.
Probably not.
I don't know. Melvin Gordon last year was fairly exciting.
He was. Did you see the new stadium was drafted up for the Chargers? They have a new idea for the stadium to go along with the convention center.
I've seen the mock-up. I don't know whether it'll ever happen, especially with the push now to be like states and cities won't subsidize stadiums to the extent that maybe earlier they would have. I don't know whether it's going to happen. But it'd be nice. Qualcomm Stadium's quite old. Is it still called Qualcomm Stadium?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
No, that's a good question. I think it is. I think
it's not
is.
Like Bank of America, AT&T,
New Market,
Nationwide,
they've
Arena
got,
of America.
Corporate naming. At least somebody like, who is it? The Broncos were smart. Invesco Field at Mile High. So you can still call Mile High.
I hate the at. Like talking of terrible named stadiums, there's a Premier League stadium called St. James's Park.
Right.
And when the new owner wanted to sponsor his company, it's now Sports Direct presents St. James's Park. And it's an awful name.
It definitely
doesn't.
Don't
do the presents. Just give it a name. It's fine. Lucas Oil Stadium. No one cares. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
But
then you get like something like with the Eagles with the Lincoln Financial Field. Just call it the Link.
Yeah.
It works pretty good.
Yeah, it works.
That's not so bad. Also one more football note just coming across today was Josh Norman, whose franchise tag was rescinded by the Carolina Panthers for unknown reasons, has signed with the Washington Redskins to be their cornerback.
Do we think the unknown reason is actually just money?
Well, that's part of it. But at the same time, if you put the franchise tag, it's not forever. You know, you're like, this is pretty much a one-year deal. All right, do the best you can. And then, like, all right, then I'm out of here. Because by putting the franchise tag on the person, you have to pay them within the top five of players of their position. So it can be, like, the highest paid or the fifth highest paid cornerback in the league. It's your choice. But if you're saying, like, he wanted too much money, well, all right, well, that's part of what the franchise tag does. Like, I will pay you. You'll get a year or two. And then you're out. So, stuff like that.
Yep.
So, that happened. And then I saw in Premier League news that Aston Villa has been relegated to the lower division.
Mm-hmm.
The lower... division, league? How would
it's
you
called,
say?
It's called lower league.
Lower league.
So, it's league football. So, the top is the Premiership.
Right.
The second level is the Championship for reasons.
It's like platinum and gold and diamond suites, all that stuff.
But then it goes League One, League Two. Because back before a lot of TV money came in, it used to just be League One. That was the top.
Right.
And then it became the Barclays Premier League. And then it became
Speaking of sponsorship.
The Coca-Cola Championship. And then it became League One, League Two. So they've been in the Premier League since around the 1980s.
Okay.
Last couple of seasons they've been flirting with relegation. Soccer, the bottom three teams of the Premiership get relegated every season, and then in the Championship, top three teams move up.
Right.
It's
a fair shift.
Yeah. And I mean, normally what you expect at the start of the season is the teams that get promoted will go back down again. Because the Championship doesn't have the same levels of money that Premiership teams do.
In baseball, it's called the cup of coffee. Like, you come up for like a week or a couple days and be like, oh, all right. And then the guy who got hurt is healthy again. All right, we're sending you back down.
So yeah, that's a big, big, not a surprise for many football fans, but it's been coming. And it's just how they rebuild. Newcastle were a team that got relegated and might be relegated again, who have a huge following in the north of England.
Right.
And they went down, they rebuilt, and now they're up, and they were stronger and are now weakening again.
Right. Yeah, because there are some teams that you hear about. Like, I've heard of Aston. You know, I'm not a big soccer fan, but I know soccer fans, and I know soccer, you know, enough to get by. But when I hear Aston Villa, I know that name.
Yeah.
You know, I know. You know, I know Newcastle. I've heard of these, and then all of a sudden to hear that they're relegated, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's like no one minds that Brighton and Hove Albion got relegated.
Yeah, exactly.
No one outside of the UK knows who that is. but like the big shock for this year is that the winners might be Leicester City, who last year, I think, got promoted last year, and this year they might win it.
Wow, that's very impressive.
But they basically built up an organization that's, it plays a very strong game of football.
Okay.
Very defensively minded, but they've had their main striker, Jamie Vardy, has just been on fire. So they're scoring loads of goals, not conceding very often.
Right.
And all the big teams are really struggling to play against them.
Wow.
But a lot of the more established teams, like your Chelsea's, your Arsenal's, your Man United's, your Man City's now, have had a really faltering seasons, and the beneficiaries of that have been Leicester.
Yes.
So I think there are two games left, and they're 3 points ahead of their nearest rival. So as long as they don't mess up, it should be theirs for taking. Well, and it'll be like the first time a team has won the Premiership, a new team has won the Premiership for like 14 years.
Wow, that's great. At least break it up.
It should be good. Yeah. So they'll be in the Champions League next year. So the Champions League next year could very well be Barcelona traveling to Leicester City.
That'd be a big
deal. It's hardly a champagne fixture for them, but you'll probably sell out. Leicester.
What are they doing in this rinky-dink stadium?
They'll never see Messi again, probably. Hopefully.
Get your tickets now. One more thing before we go. So, have you been following the Conor McGregor saga?
I was just looking it up. Yeah, I mean, MMA is a sport I'm sort of moving towards now that boxing has kind of gone the way of.
Oh boy, yeah.
Not excitement.
No, definitely not.
But yeah, Nate Diaz. Did you see his reply?
So, I did not.
So Conor McGregor's been tweeting, everyone turned up for this press conference, and obviously he's not there. And it was like, hey, respect, great to see everyone there, but they didn't make the company $400 million over 8 months.
That's true, yeah.
And one of the reporters at the event brought this up to Nate Diaz, and Nate Diaz just went, Conor got his ass beat. And that was his reply.
Yes.
That's why he's not here, because he doesn't want to
fight. No, it's true.
Again.
And they both love to talk, and they both love to stir the pot. But yeah, Conor McGregor said he retired. Some people were speculating because he had a friend, or he knew somebody, or somebody related to his fight team had fought in a lower MMA company and like died in the ring or something like that. And everybody was like, well, you know, they're rationalizing it, saying, you know, well, it's a violent sport. Maybe he wants to get out early.
Mm.
And then, you know, apparently now it's turned out that he didn't want to do some sort of promotional stuff for the company. And
yeah, I think his stance is that he feels it's a distraction to have to do all the sideshow stuff around selling the fights.
Yeah. Well, it's the old, I came here to do this, not to do that, you know.
I mean, it's a...
I'm only here because I won't get fined.
It's one thing to say that when you're at the top and you don't need to advertise your fights anymore.
True.
But if you hadn't been doing that groundwork,
never would have gotten there.
No one would have taken that shot. No one would have paid the money to see your fights.
That's very true.
So why do you get to renegotiate at the top? But I also understand his point. If you're about to get in a ring with someone who can really hurt you, do you want to be wasting your time flying Ireland to Las Vegas?
That's true. No, very good point. So, we'll see how that goes. Although he's definitely not going to be on the UFC 200 card. That's official.
Has that been officially announced? I thought they were kind of coying about it.
But apparently, like, you know, because if he's coming back, like, well, now you're not going to get it. You know, you can't fire me. I quit. All right. Well, you're rehired, but you don't get the same breaks you did.
So. The problem is Nate Diaz is like, I don't want to fight anyone else.
Well, then
that's the problem.
Well, if anything else, they've just whatever card he does, they do fight at. They've sold it already, so you don't have to do any promotion. You just go look at read the news. You'll know this is a big fight.
Doesn't like this guy.
Yeah,
sold.
So who says wrestling isn't real? All right. Well, thanks very much for joining me, Alex, this week.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, and we'll see you soon. Andrew, are you there?
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.